Our final scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 12, starting with verse 12 and going through verse 19. You can find this on page 1671 of your pew Bibles. The next day, the great crowd had come for the feast, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look at the whole world has gone after him." Small congregational participation moment. I realize we're Presbyterians. You'll get over it. Do not say anything out loud, because that will ruin this. If you know what Hosanna means, raise your hand. If you think you might know what Hosanna means, raise your hand. Keep them risen. Okay, everyone with your hands up, put your hands down. Everyone with your hands down, put your hands up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Nice and high. Do any of you with your hands up find it a little weird that you shout this thing every year? Find it a little weird that you say it every time we have communion? Because it's a great word. It really is a great word. It's one of those words in Hebrew that does not translate well into English because it can be used so many ways. So the Greek word is roughly Hosanna. I didn't actually look up the Greek pronunciation because it doesn't matter. But the Hebrew word is Hoshana, and it means save. It means save. But much like you can make save into a whole lot of different things in English, in the Hebrew, it can be used in so many ways. So as they're standing there shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," what they're shouting is, "Save me," or "Save now," or "You are my Savior." Hosanna. To Jesus, as he's entering Jerusalem, they're yelling at him, "Save me. You are my Savior." So a part of this is clearly petition. Clearly, as they shout Hosanna at this man whom they had heard about, this man whom they'd seen, this man who they knew these things about, this man who some of those gathered had seen Lazarus come out of the grave because Jesus spoke. They were shouting petitions to Jesus, "Save me! You are powerful! Save me!" Because they needed saving. the group that was gathered and shouting, the group that shouted Hosanna at Jesus. These were not the powerful. These were not the rich. These were not the Pharisees and the high priests and the Sadducees who had their power. And these were not the Romans, clearly. But these were the lower. These were those who could see a man coming into Jerusalem on a donkey and think that he was their king. These were the downtrodden, the beaten, the poor. These were the outcast. And so when they see this man, even if he is on a donkey, even if he is poor, even if he's probably a little malnourished because he didn't have, they could see a king. And they could see their Savior. And they could shout to him, Hosanna, Hosanna, my Savior, save me. But this is more than just petition. This is more than just asking for something. This is also something you could shout as a celebration as your Savior came back. You could almost shout this at a war hero, thanking them for saving you and providing for you. Hosanna, my Savior, you have saved me. So as these people are gathered, they're shouting their prayers and their celebration. They see Jesus coming in on a donkey. They see him coming in on a donkey. And they cannot help but shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. What I found interesting, though, as I thought about this more and more, is not who was shouting Hosanna or what they were shouting, but who was not shouting Hosanna. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests, they were not shouting Hosanna. They were not shouting, save me. They were whispering to themselves, he's threatening our power. He's threatening our influence. We can do nothing. We've screwed up. The whole world is following him. How dare they? They're getting themselves worked up into a tizzy, and you know how that works. Something bad happens, you get angry, and you just get angrier and angrier and angrier. And by the end of this week, they're going to conspire to have him executed. By the end of this week, they're going to commit murder by proxy. By the end of this week, they're going to try their best to end his influence. So they are not shouting Hosanna. They are shouting, kill him. Get rid of him. Because they don't need a Savior. They're righteous enough as it is, according to them. They've saved themselves. And the Romans aren't shouting Hosanna either. The Romans come in with swords and chariots and armies. When Pilate entered Jerusalem to make sure that those Jews didn't get out of hand, he likely came in from a different gate, and he probably rode in on a chariot, and he had his armies with him. It would have been a grand spectacle to see. He didn't come in by himself on a donkey. And mind you, this is just Pilate. This isn't Caesar. This isn't some great general. This is just one of the military leaders that happened to be assigned to Jerusalem. The Romans aren't the ones shouting Hosanna because the Romans didn't need saving. The Romans didn't shout Hosanna. People shouted Hosanna because of the Romans. Their saving, if they needed it, which they didn't at this point, would come from the sword and the armor and the strength and shedding blood. That is where their salvation would come. But to these people who were downtrodden, to these people who were not the Romans with their swords, to these people who were not the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests, who were righteous enough and didn't need saving, to these people who needed saving, they may not have understood that Jesus was the Messiah. They may not have understood what he was coming to give them, but they knew that they needed saving and they knew that he could give it to them. They shouted, "Hosanna, my Savior, save me." As we go into Holy Week, there's a question we can ask ourselves. Do I shout Hosanna, or do I get my Hosanna from the world? Do I believe that my Hosanna will come from the sword, from might, from battle, from shedding blood? Do I believe that the world will provide my Hosanna through violence, through taking advantage, through conquering, and making sure that people obey? Or do I believe that my Hosanna is unnecessary because I am already righteous enough? Do I shout Hosanna and worship not because it means anything to me, but it's because what the bulletin told me to do, and a good Christian follows the bulletin? Do I sing Hosanna because it is that Sunday of the year, or it is the Sunday of the month that we have communion? Do I shout Hosanna and it ring hollow? Or do I look within myself? Do I feel the pain of my brokenness? Do I see the pain and harm that I have caused? Do I realize my sin? Do I dine once more with Christ? Do I scatter when he is struck down? Do I wail at the foot of his cross? Do I realize the sacrifice that he did not need to give and I do not deserve? Do I look forward to that cross, know its pain and know its necessity, and shout, "Hosanna, my Savior, save me"? I shout Hosanna even when my voice is weak and I cannot physically erupt it out, even when I am tired and worn, my soul will shout Hosanna because I need a Savior. So as you go into this Holy Week, may you look forward to the cross. May you realize its necessity and your need. And may you too shout, "Hosanna, my Savior, save me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.